How to draw closer to God. Subject tonight, how to draw closer to God. Now, the scripture text that we're looking at on this subject, and by the way, would everybody like to draw closer to God? Is that fair to ask? Amen. Amen. James 4 and 8, most all of us in here have read this verse before. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It seems so simple, doesn't it? When you just look at that word and what the Bible is telling us, what God is telling us, because it's His word, that if we just desire to draw close to God, He's going to draw close to us. So it begins with our desires, not God. It's up to us for us to have that closeness. So take just a minute tonight and think about this question. Am I closer to God than I have ever been in my life right now? Am I closer to God than I've ever been in my life? Do I feel His presence and His hand in my life in a more real and powerful way? Am I feeling that presence? Am I more dependent upon God every day? Am I more dependent upon Him? Am I more surrendered to Him? Am I more submitted to Him? Am I sharing every detail of my daily life with Him in such a way that I seek His approval and participation in every decision that I make? We have that dependency, that closeness that comes with that. Has my trust in Him grown to the point that I don't waste time with fear and worry and anxiety? I don't waste time with those things, knowing and believing that I can cast my burdens on Him and He is always beside me. Yeah. Always. He's always. Our desire should be always to draw closer and closer to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. A fellow once said that our lives are similar to the great salmon that are swimming against the current to arrive at the place of spawning and laying their eggs. They're either moving forward against the current toward their destination, or they're moving backwards because the current gets a hold of them and moves them back and farther from their desired goal. For them, there's no standing still. You're either going forward or it's pulling you back. In this great walk of faith, I believe that we're either moving forward, drawing closer and closer to Him, or we're drifting back. We're drifting away from that intimacy and closeness that God desires for our lives. So I think all of us here, we recognize the value and the importance of having a desire to draw closer to God. And what an incredible journey it is when we do that. We live our life walking close to Him. Let's take a minute this evening to examine some specific steps that I believe can help all of us in our goal to draw closer to Him. And the first one is very obvious, and it begins with by praying to Him, by talking to Him. The Bible tells us in Mark 11 and 24, when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them. Prayer must be accompanied by desire and passion and faith. Those are all important ingredients in our prayer life. James 5 and 16 declares, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I like this last part. You're familiar with this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, it's not just prayer, but it's effective, fervent. Fervent is a key part of that scripture. There's a passion. There's a fervency. It's not just reading a prayer. It is praying with your heart and soul to God. How close can you be to somebody that you really ever talk to? Not very. Not very close at all. God is always there waiting for us to talk to Him in prayer, really to keep His promise to draw near to us as we attempt to draw near to Him. 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, the Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Pretty clear. So we can draw closer to God just by talking to Him, by praying to Him every day. Secondly, we can draw closer to God by proving His promises. Sometimes in proving those promises, we just got to be reminded of what some of the promises are. In 2 Peter 1:4, by which the promises is, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. We've been given incredible, exceedingly great and precious promises. Not one of His promises has ever failed. Let's look at a few of them tonight. First of all, His promise of redemption, recorded in Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Oh, praise God for the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We also have His promise of grace and mercy revealed to us in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Also in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace, you know this word, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How about His promise to us for no condemnation? You know, under the blood of Christ, as born-again believers, we're not under condemnation. Now, we might be under conviction from time to time because the Holy Spirit convicts us, but that's not condemnation. You understand the difference. Romans 8:1, you know this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God has also made a promise to us to be faithful. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Listen to what God is faithful in doing. God is faithful to establish us. That means that we have a sure foundation. We're established in the faith through the Word of God and the ministry of His Holy Spirit in us. He will establish us and He will guard us from the evil one. That's a great promise, isn't it? I love His promise for victory. According to 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world. How does it end? Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. God enables us to trust Him and to believe in Him and let faith grow in us. Then He's given us a promise for His peace. Then in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I sell to you. No, it didn't say that. We don't have to buy it, do we? It says, my peace I give to you. It's a gift. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or sometimes, I don't know about you, I just need to stop and read that verse. Don't you sometimes have that? It seems like everything's just going on. You get all anxious or excited or upset or angry or whatever it may be at that moment on that particular day. If we could just pause for a minute and let the Word speak to us. Let God, like Pam was talking about, let the Lord just bless us with the Word. It says, my peace I give to you. It's not like anything the world can do. It's nothing like anything the world can do. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I love this next promise. His promise of answered prayers. Has God ever answered prayers for you? Oh, has He ever come through and you knew God had brought the answer. You knew He'd blessed you with an answer to that situation and that need. James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer, we said this earlier, of a righteous man avails much. Psalm 34:15-17, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and I like this, and the Lord hears. Did y'all hear that tonight? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Matthew 7:7, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Then we have another great promise. His promise for us when the way is hard and life is full of pain. There's not a person in this room that doesn't experience moments, seasons, or times or days when things are hard or they're even painful. Psalm 55:22, you know this verse as well. Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden. Did I think of casting? You know, if you're, anybody ever go fly fishing and you're casting, you're putting that thing out there? Casting. Cast your burden. Here you go, Lord. I'm giving it to you right now. I'm not going to carry this burden anymore because you're with me. You're going to see me through it. Then there are his promises that are for us even when we grow tired and weary. I might add, promises for us even when it seems like we have very little faith. We all have those moments. We don't like to proclaim that. We don't testify about that, but you know what I'm saying. We have those little moments. Galatians 6 and 9 reminds us, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm in the, about to finish a book written by David McCullough, and the title of the book is Truman. It's an incredible story of our president, Harry Truman. The book is a long book. It's like 980 pages, and I'm on page number 725, so I'm getting there. But I will tell you, this scripture that growing weary and doing good and having good courage, God strengthening us, I'm reading details that the author reveals in the life of this man, Truman. If you remember, he took over the presidency when Franklin Roosevelt had been elected for his, I think it was his third or fourth term, and he'd been elected and inaugurated, and in April he died. So Roosevelt had only been in office for that four-year term, only 4 months. He passed away, and suddenly the vice president, which was Harry Truman, who had served in the Senate for several years, suddenly became the president of the United States. He served out the rest of that four-year term, and when it was time for a re-election in the year 1948, he was running to be elected president, and everybody said he doesn't have a chance. There's no way that guy has a chance, just no chance whatsoever. His candidate for the Republican Party was going to defeat him was a guy named Dewey. Everybody remember that? They said that Truman is wasting his time campaigning or doing anything. He has no chance. They did a poll of the 50 writers and journalists that followed the president and followed Dewey, and 50-0, they all said, Dewey's got this. He's got it. It's a landslide. It's going to be a landslide. But Truman had so much courage and so much heart. This man had more courage and heart than I ever realized until I was reading this book. And what he did and what he endured at age 64 to run for the presidency, in the days and weeks and months that he gave of himself, campaigning in nearly every little town you can imagine, big cities, little towns, you name it. It was called the first word that came into the being for America was called the whistle stop. And by train, he went from the West Coast to the East Coast, from Texas to Michigan, and every little town in between. And every time he got out and talked to the people, he had incredible courage. He had incredible determination. If you remember, the Chicago Tribune, so certain that Dewey was going to win, they'd already printed the morning edition on the day after the election that says, Dewey defeats Truman. And there's a famous classic picture of President Truman on the back of a train car the next day, and he's holding up that newspaper and he's grinning from ear to ear because that morning it had been declared that he had won 303 electoral college votes and was the winner. It was one of the most amazing victories in American history of a president that everybody said he has no chance at all. I believe he's one of the most consequential presidents of the modern era, considering that 11 minutes after Israel announced that they were a nation, a sovereign nation, 11 minutes after that, the first nation in the world, United States, recognized Israel as a nation. And the story behind Truman's doing that is just incredible. It's an amazing story. Courage and determination. I want to tell you, God wants us to be of good courage. He wants us to know that He's going to strengthen us. So, and then this scripture in Isaiah, you know this one, 40 and 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he increases strength. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great promise of strength for us when we're growing weary and tired. God is saying those words to us tonight. His promises to us in times of sickness. You know, Jesus, we say this, oh, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He tells us that, right? James 5 and 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. Praise God. Every Sunday morning, we're anointing with oil. We're counting on that scripture. We're believing that the prayer of faith will do the job. Amen. And it's going to do the job. I had an opportunity to get updated today regarding how Ed Arnold's doing. They got him up yesterday and he walked up and down the hallway a little bit for the first time. That was a big deal. They were going to plan on doing the same thing today. They're really pleased with the progress he's making. They believe he'll be in a rehab facility probably by this weekend. They'll take him by ambulance to a rehab facility where he'll continue to do well. And so I want to tell you something. God's answer to prayers is wonderful and marvelous. It's just incredible. I didn't share this Sunday morning, and shame on me for not doing it, but right before Bryn began to pray out in other tongues, led by the Holy Spirit, right before God spoke to us through tongues and interpretation, I could just feel the presence. I was just praying, and it was as if the Lord was just putting in my mind, in my mind's eye, this idea, this vision, so to speak, that an angel was walking into that room where Ed was right then. And an angel was reaching over and touching him. And it was like in my spirit, my heart, it was like the Lord was saying, the angel, you know, I'm seeing this. The angel is touching him. God's healing him. He's going to be okay. And I didn't share that with you Sunday. I should have, but I didn't. But when I talked to Pat Arnold, I had not said that to her at all. And she said, I asked her, how you doing? She says, I'm doing fine. She says, God's speaking in my heart. You know, I was praying yesterday, and the Lord was just showing me that there were angels in Ed's room touching him and that God was healing him. And when she said that, I said, oh, wait a minute, Pat, let me tell you what God put on my heart. And I shared that with her. And we knew that it was God that was doing that, that he was touching him and giving healing to him. And I guarantee you, what do you think? When Ed finally gets back to church, you think he's going to have a testimony? I bet he does. I bet he has more, maybe one. I believe that. But prayer of faith will save the sick. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, for years and years, many theologians said, well, that healing is only talking about spiritual healing. I got news for them. It's for every kind of healing. It's spiritual. It's mental. It's physical. It's emotional healing. By his stripes, we're healed. Then there are his promises for our children. Man,
hallelujah.
We need these promises. He's revealed these to us as we pray for our children. Acts 16 and 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. I like that promise. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way it should go. You know these words. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. Those are promises from God for you and for me, for our children. And finally, he's revealed a promise to us that's forever regarding our future, our eternal home. John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. We have eternal life because he lives. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it's written, eyes not seen nor heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love. And we can't begin to imagine what God is waiting for us. Revelation 21:1-2, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, but the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. We're going to be a part of that new holy city, amen? The new Jerusalem. His promises to us, all these promises are for every need. And we get closer to God when we read these promises, we take them into our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. We trust in him because they're his words to us, his promises to us. And when we do that, our faith grows and our sense of closeness to God gets more and more. 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. Praise God, not one word has failed. So we get closer to God by praying to him. We get closer to God by remembering and recalling his promises. We get closer to God by praising him. Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Do you praise him every day? Do you stop every day and just worship him and thank him and praise him? Praise is such a wonderful, incredible way to get closer to God. Somebody said, well, we praised our way through the difficulty. I like that. We praised our way through the difficulty. Another said, when you can't pray your way through, praise your way through. I like that. I think that's good. Praise. Think about it. You know it pleases God. You can't be discouraged. You can't complain. You can't feel sorry for yourself. You can't find fault if you're praising God. It just doesn't go together. It never happens that way. So we draw closer to him by praising him. We also draw closer to God by practicing his presence. Practicing his presence. John 14:18. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise God's made to us, that he's with us. Acts 2:28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. In the presence of God, there's joy. In the presence of God, there's peace. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, in God's presence, there's times of refreshing, there's joy and there's peace. The most holy and necessary practice of our lives in our spiritual walk with the Lord is to practice the presence of God. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean that throughout the day we just stop and say, God, you are with me. And we acknowledge that. We don't even have to say it out loud. In our spirit, in our minds, we acknowledge that he's with us. We're not alone, that we're not walking this steps of life by ourselves. That every moment we find constant pleasure. I think it's pleasure. Constant pleasure in the divine company of our Savior and our Heavenly Father. It means practicing the presence of God to me. It also means revealing what's in our mind and heart to him. You know, Lord, right now I'm thinking that, and we just start talking to him. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm saying, Lord, I'm thinking, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't be thinking this way. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of an honest expression. We're just kind of talking to the Lord, not some memorized prayer, but just simply expressing our hearts to God. It's talking to God, just like we talk to each other many times. Is God really with us? Is he really with us? Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you love that word? He himself, God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We draw closer to God also by practicing in his work, in the gospel, in spreading the gospel, in the ministry of the church, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. John 15:16 says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And bearing fruit means that we have other people that come to know Christ. Bearing fruit means that we're helping disciple others in their walk and their faith and encouraging them and blessing them. To participate in God's work means to share, to join in, to have a hand in, to cooperate, to get involved, not just to sit back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's what we do as Christians where God's work is concerned. We jump in there and we're part of it. When we participate in God's work, we share in His incredible friendship, because Jesus reminds us that you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That's in John 15 and 14. So in conclusion tonight, I ask the question again, do you want to be closer to God? Do you want to live each day more aware of His presence? Is it a priority in your life right now? It is even in our conscious awareness. Is it there? Is it something they're aware of consciously? Or is it something that we're striving for? It should be. It should be. So again, I ask this question, how close are you living to the Lord? How much are you practicing His presence? Does your prayer life, does it give evidence of your priority to draw close to Him? Are your days filled with praising Him? How can we be so satisfied with so little of His presence? Sadly, often we are, aren't we? God help us not to have that in our hearts. God help us to have a hunger and a desire and a passion to have more and more of Him, more of His presence, more awareness that He's with us. Are we to participate in His work? We can't do that unless we're close to Him. Whatever the work may be, whatever opportunity God puts before us, we can never accomplish truly what He wants us to accomplish unless we're drawing close to God. But one more time, am I closer to God now than I've ever been in my life? Maybe we should ask that question of ourselves every day. What do you think? Each day. Am I closer to God today than I've ever been in my life? Make that your goal. You can't help but make that your goal when you ask that question, because in your heart, you feel that prick in your heart. You go, oh, Lord, let me draw closer to You right now. Father, we praise You.